Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Seth, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Seth, we've had heavy discussion about the college football playoff, the future of what that could look like as the SEC spring meetings are going on down there in Florida. So, your thoughts on what Greg Sankey said about what he's calling the 5+11 model, where that comes down and kind of the way you'd like to see things go here, as opposed to maybe what the Big Ten is throwing out there with the automatic qualifiers as it relates to the college football playoff?
Well, the 5+11 model is essentially what we have now, just adding two teams. And it's interesting that Sankey is floating it and talking to the coaches about it, because it kind of backs up what we've heard throughout this process of talking about the automatic bids, that the Big Ten and Tony Petitti, the commissioner there, it is pushing that more than the SEC. But we do have like a little bit of a, you know, it's not a fissure. They're not like duking it out. But I think Sankey, he hasn't said this, but I think he's nervous about automatic bids from the standpoint of an antitrust challenge. And you've already seen at least one congressman that I've seen like say he might call a hearing about it. And, you know, I think there is a part of Sankey that, like, for the good of the game, thinks that the automatic bids wouldn't be a great idea. But the athletic directors in the SEC clearly like the idea. You know, talking to them the last couple of days, you know, Scott Strickland talked for a while, and bluntly, to the Florida AD about, you know, that he just doesn't see this model working anymore with the selection committee, and that automatic bids is a way to protect, and that's the word that Trev Alberts used, the now Texas A&M AD, that, like, if you protect the SEC, then you can have 9-game schedule so that, you know, you incur more losses, but you're still guaranteed at least 4 teams in. So it's interesting what's going on, where, you know, that you really have the commissioner on one side and the league's ADs on the other, and you kind of wonder where the presidents end up. And that could be the swing in what the next playoff model looks like, is the SEC presidents.
Yeah, it makes me mad every time, like, I hear this, like, you know, protection, things like the Strickland was saying yesterday, Seth, because, like, as you and I, we talked, and we've all been talking about all this stuff, I don't think that they need the protection. They're going to be fine. They're going to have more than 4 teams in most years, especially if you go to 16. But I feel like, I guess what Sankey said yesterday, and I think it also seems to reflect some of the views of the coaches, Seth, I guess I have more optimism that the automatic qualifier plan and the, which of course comes in tandem with the play-in game idea. I hate both of those ideas. I'm more optimistic that they're not going to happen. My question for you is, if they don't, and if they do go, you know, 5-11, what do you think becomes of championship weekend? Is it they start the playoff early? I know that there's a lot of different ideas about what to do with a 16-team bracket too, but how do you think that looks in the SEC and elsewhere?
That's the question. What happens with championship weekend, and what happens with the 8 or 9-game schedule? You know, they're both intertwined. If you want a 9-game schedule, you want the SEC to get the automatic bids, because that'll happen. If they don't get the automatic bids, then it might be a coin flip on whether it's 8 or 9-game schedule. The championship weekend idea probably goes by the wayside. I mean, I disagree with you. We talked about the yesterday. I think the championship weekend, the play-in games, is fun. I think that would be exciting. But there's no reason to do it if you don't have automatic bids. It would just be a 9th or 10th conference game for these playoff contenders, where there would be risk for everybody, and there, you know, you'd have more injuries, like, needlessly. So I think that goes by the wayside if there's no guaranteed bids. The 8 or 9 game schedule, you know, it was interesting that Greg Sankey said yesterday that they have a mechanism within the 8-game format to play the so-called secondary rivalries. We've been assuming all along, because that's what they've been saying, that if they stick with an 8-game schedule, Tennessee-Alabama won't happen every year. It'll be twice every 4 years, because everybody will just get one permanent rivalry. Tennessee gets Vanderbilt, Alabama gets Auburn. And Georgia-Auburn, Texas-Texas A&M, you know, would not be, you know, every year. Well, Sankey just kind of, as a by the way, said yesterday that they have a mechanism in the 8-game format to actually make those games happen every year. It'll make it less clean. It'll make it more complicated. So you'll play some of these other games like twice every 5 years instead. But he's now saying that they can do that, which I don't think it's any accident that it's happening after a year where they saw the ratings for those games, like especially Texas-Texas A&M, and said, whoa, you know, we can't be playing that like twice every 4 years. So does that mean that Sankey thinks that they're going to be stuck with an 8-game schedule now? Because he's been in favor of 9 games, but he's getting so much pushback about adding 8 more losses for his conference because they'd be playing each other for the 9th game. When they got penalized, the SEC did, by not having enough, you know, only having 3 teams in the playoff. So now, obviously, there's a good case to be made for they only deserved 3 teams last year. You know, that's luck of the draw. So you certainly understand when people are saying, well, you know, stop complaining. That's just kind of the way the cookie crumbled that year. But go to a 9th game. You know, ESPN is willing to pay a little bit more for that now. But I don't know that that's going to end up being the difference. Talking to people here, I get the impression that if SEC teams continue to – it's more important that they play marquee non-conference matchups than just play a 9th SEC game. That's what ESPN wants. They want Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, Clemson. You know, Georgia is scheduled to play Ohio State in the future. I know Tennessee, you know, has and does have those kind of games matched up. They'd rather have that than a 9th game when it's like, you know, Georgia, Missouri, or Tennessee, you know, Mississippi State, that kind of thing. Not to disparage, but doing that. So if they are able to keep those important rivalries played every year within an 8-game schedule, I think they're going to end up doing that if there isn't guaranteed bids in the playoff. But, of course, I've covered the schedule saga for years, and every time I think it's going to be one way, something holds it up. So who knows?
Seth, you brought up Scott Strickland, the Florida AD. One thing he also said yesterday was, quote, a committee is not ideal to choose a postseason. I question whether it's appropriate for college football. So what do you make of those comments, and do you think there is actually more ADs that feel this way? Is there a conceivable scenario somewhere down the road that this is all determined by something other than a committee?
Yeah, we've been talking about, I've talked to several people here about whether there's some possibility of like, you know, a combination, like half is a committee vote and half is a schedule strength, like hard criteria. And I could see that. And I think that's kind of some of what the SEC is angling for in this next format. You know, there's even been people have kind of thrown out the idea of just go back to the BCS computers and use that. But I think there's a reason we went away from that, because there were too many years where it was like, hey, hold on, that says one thing, but it's really the other. And we could say, well, if they go to 16 teams or even 14, you know, who cares if the you know, the computer formula is, you know, leaving off the 15th and 16th teams, that doesn't really matter. Well, yeah, I mean, to everyone other than those extra teams that get left out, sure. But the within that, the seeding, there would be like, you know, what if 1 year, like the AP poll or, you know, the common sense, what everyone kind of agrees poll looks completely different from what like you know, a computer poll looks like. You know, the number one team is number eight and ends up getting seated there, that kind of thing. So some kind of combination, like where you put the numbers on one side, and then the committee can kind of look at the numbers and maybe like, you know, say, I don't know about, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, ultimately where you land when you have these conversations, there's not going to be anything that's perfect. And that was something that Scott Strickland was getting at. And he's really thoughtful in his comments. And, you know, I hate that sometimes, because Strickland is so accessible and he really thinks this through and he patiently answers our questions. And when he's ducking a question, he tells us he's ducking it. I hate that a lot of times, like, the single comment gets out and people start attacking him when he really has thought things through. And what he did yesterday is he kind of outlined that, like, look, there's a reason the pro sports don't have selection committees, but the pro sports have like a finite amount of teams. You know, they have 32 teams, divisions. You know, people play each other, certain amount, blah, blah, blah. In college football, it's just spread out. And you're just never really going to have a perfect system. And you can have selection committees in the other sports, basketball, you're seeing it in baseball and softball. And, you know, people disagree a little bit with seeding and the 65th and 66th team getting left out. But, you know, it's so that's so many teams and they play so many more games. Football has so many less data points because you've got 12 regular season games. Teams in their own conference don't play each other. And it's just going to be subjective all the time. And there isn't a great solution. There really isn't. Until they go to the Super League, and even then people are going to argue, and people aren't going to like the Super League for good reason too. So it's part of what makes college football a mess, but it's also part of the charm of the sport too.
Yeah. You know, real quick on that idea, that's why, you know, whatever they do with the selection committee, but that's why we have to have these non-league games, right, Seth? I mean, yeah. Like, how are we comparing leagues if we don't have any of the best teams playing each other?
Well, if you think back, like, some people love the 2020 season, other than, you know, everything else that was happening in 2020, because the SEC played 10 league games. Okay, right. But nobody played non-conference games. So if you did, the right. more conference games you play, the less chance for non-conference game and the less data points you have. And, like, sometimes that can be deceiving, but in 2023, remember, like, the first couple opening weekends, the SEC kind of got killed, and it was still like, you know, it's early, whatever. And then, like, the SEC didn't have a team in the national championship. Now, it was pretty close. Alabama and Michigan were right there with each other in the Rose Bowl at the end, but still. And then this year, there were kind of some, you know, it wasn't as bad, but there were still some underwhelming opening weekend games. And lo and behold, the SEC, you know, doesn't have a team in the national championship again. And its champion, Georgia, got beat pretty soundly by Notre Dame. So sometimes those non-conference games can be pretty reflective. And for ratings reasons, I talked with someone at ESPN about this. A lot of people think ESPN is like this bogeyman that's just all about money, ratings. But this person I was talking to was talking very, like, smartly, I thought, about, like, the game and the fairness and everything. And it was kind of saying, like, look, they need to play these non-conference games, not just because of the ratings, but because they're a good data point for comparing leagues as the season goes on. So, you know, I'm kind of talking myself back into, like, maybe they should stick with 8 games here as I'm talking out loud.
Well, Seth, really good stuff, man. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yep, Seth Emerson from The Athletic, our guest. Lots to react to there from Seth, plus a mini rant that Kirby Smart went on yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule. For more details, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Paul Kuharski will be with us in the second half of the show. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Appreciate Seth Emerson for being with us on the program. Joe, another interesting discussion yesterday that Kirby Smart had at his media session. And I feel like it's probably good to play the entire thing, his entire answer about the transfer portal, the window, and kind of the discussion around that. Here's what Kirby Smart had to say yesterday down at the SEC meetings.
On the portal window timing, Coach Elko was just in here and he made the point, you know, he doesn't understand why anybody would want to look at a portal window after the spring rather than after the winter based on the professional models and what's worked. Where do you stand on that? What would be the argument to do it after spring instead?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. You know, I didn't get to talk to Elko. I was getting ready to talk to him. I did talk to Clark Lee. I think of this meeting, and I think everybody in this room is 8 or 9, SEC championship or not, settlement. The biggest decision that has to be made in college football right now, by far, is when is the portal window and is there one or two? Okay, that's not being decided by us today. A lot of people don't even know how it's getting decided, who's deciding it. But I need you to think for a second. There is a strong contingent. We had an AFCA meeting. We had a meeting in which we unanimously decided that there really needed to be one portal window. Whatever that is what it is. And it needs to happen sometime in January. There is an outcry. There is schools. There's different conferences that feel like it should not fall during the play-in season. I would love that. I would love to be able to play the season without it. Is basketball able to do that? Or do they deal with the portal during their championship? I'm asking.
During the tournament.
What do we deal with during the final, let's call it maybe 4 teams? I don't know if I'm exactly right on that, but roughly we're down to 4. We deal with that. Okay, that's because of the academic calendar for us. It's where the academic calendar falls. And everybody doesn't have that incongruency. Oh, by the way, we had to deal with that multiple times. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's really hard to be playing in a championship setting and having to deal with that. But when I brought that up as a complaint or a problem, it was told to me, there's no crying from the yacht.
That was Kirby Smart yesterday, Joe, talking about the transfer portal windows and how, beyond anything else, that is by far the number one thing that has to get solved. What'd you make of what Kirby Smart had to say there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with a lot of what he said, but it's like by far the biggest issue in college football is, are we going to have 4 alternate uniforms or 5? I mean, it's not that trivial, but, you know, there are bigger things going on. Yeah, he's very passionate about that. He went on Feinbaum and talked a lot about that, too, and then even, like, you know, like, off the air, like, you know, and I understand, like, look, the idea of, I love the yacht thing, by the way, which worked out well perfectly with the Catalina wine mixer last night.
Good stuff.
But yeah, I do like, I do agree. Like the windows need to be figured out. And also it is problematic, you know, certainly for a team still playing and things like that, but also even for players. Yeah, you know, they should be able to, like, they're going to new school, go to new school in January, things like that. So it's one of many issues going on. I mean, it is, but it is his quest right now.
He's fired
up.
Something.
Yeah, you get Kirby fired up, and boy, I tell you what. So you know, it's really interesting to hear, like, who is making the decision. Like, is it really that chaotic that, like, we don't even know who is going to do what, when? Like, this week, there's going to be all these discussions. This week's going to end, and there's not going to be any, like, definitive, here's what we're doing, here's what our plan is. It's going to kind of leak out a little bit, you know, and hopefully it'll be, like, hopefully today there'll be a little bit more, you know, even like yesterday, a little inkling, even more of the, yeah, you know, that auto bid thing. Yeah, that just didn't really hit. But I mean, I think the 8-game, sticking with the 8-game, is also, as Seth was talking about, also something that we're probably going to be, I'm guessing, talking about. And you know what? I that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make personally.
I would agree with that. I also, like, purely from a college football fan standpoint, like, I understand the transfer portal window for coaches and the way that it's currently set up, where there's all these different windows where players can leave, is really annoying. Purely from a college football fan standpoint, like, get, like, one window, maybe two. But like the spring window, and even take the Nico stuff out of it, because, I mean, that was kind of the extreme example here in Tennessee. But, like, the idea that there's all these different transfer portal windows, and in the spring, when you're trying to build your team for next year and the calendar is about to flip to April, that people can just walk out at that point, and you know, you have to change the makeup of your team within a span of like 4 months. I think that's dumb. So like, there's got to be some way that you can solve that part of it moving forward. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if I'm with Kirby Smart that it's the number one issue in all of college football is like the portal window and when the windows are, but it is problematic. They got to figure that out.
The number one issue in the world, perhaps. No, yeah. Now look, again, if we're going to professionalize things, which is what is happening, then one free agency period, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just logical. And also, again, it's like Zakai Ziegler's lawsuit. A big part of that lawsuit is his lawyer saying, you know, look at the average amount of time it takes to finish a degree. So you should be, these students should be looked at in terms of 5-year students. That's fine. So if academics are going to be part of this, and they should be, I mean, this is still higher education. I mean, as far as I know, like maybe it's someday someone's going to be able to sue and say, I don't have to be a student. I just get to play college football. But as of now, it is college athletics. It is college. And so to me, that portal window makes no sense in terms of the, of the calendar of college too. Right. Like, do you not have to take classes, like get into your class? Like, you know, it's just, so I think that the window, now, of course, the problem is between semesters, then that's when you can get into the window open when, you know, a team is in the playoff, but it's not going to be perfect, but you got to have one, I believe.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us now here on the program. Paul? Good morning. How are you?
Greetings, people. I am very well. Thank you.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Rex Road down in Florida. Did you happen to see the clip of Rex Road on the beach doing the show with Paul Feinbaum yesterday? It was a beautiful setting in the background there.
Wow, look at you. Big timer. I did see the setting. I did watch Lane Kiffin's incredibly awkward stop and start interview.
Yeah.
I mean, content's not bad, but the awkwardness is just painful.
Big hitters yesterday on Feinbaum with Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, and Joe Rexroth out there.
Wow, Joe, congratulations. Exactly. You finally made the big time. Well, look, I will say.
I've been on Feinbaum many times, but thanks.
Yeah, no, congratulations on
Feinbaum. I have many leather-bound books.
Humble brag.
This is big that Joe broke through from New York to the Gulf Coast, which is much more his speed. I mean, he unwisely went out on the mean streets of New York after the Knicks blew a giant lead.
Yes.
It's just not.
Took his life in his own hands.
A place for a Midwestern Southern guy to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
I advised him against all it, the, and he yeah, went out the, there anyway.
It was very scary, all the dorky Knicks fans who were crying and trying to watch my phone.
Dorky Knicks fans.
What's
who,
happening?
Who would kill you with their pinky.
Yeah, I know. So I'm glad you're gladiators. It's just a bunch of gladiators with chainsaws in New York. You got your finger on the pulse of things.
Listen,
buddy.
That big city could eat you up in a second. So I'm glad you made it out of there. I know you called me for like a crisis management. You're playing tough now on the radio, but I'm glad I could talk you through it and get you down to Destin or wherever you are there. More your speed. Don't need security. Didn't have to call me for any talking through it. So good job.
Wait, what did I need from you?
You called me to talk you through it and then talk you down. Helped you chain the door when you got back to your hotel.
Okay. All right.
He said, okay. All right.
I knew it'd go like this on the radio.
Sure thing.
There's the honest Joe off the air and then tough man Joe.
Tough guy Joe.
Tough guy Joe.
PK, I think your Knicks are cooked at this point, by the way, speaking of.
Yeah.
Are you out again? Are you going to watch game 5?
Oh, I'll watch it because they'll win game 5. Because the league needs it, but look, I got last night. I think I got the good taste of that the NBA officiating is on par with Indiana's the Pacers are a superior team to the Knicks, but The NBA officiating is on par with NFL officiating. Knicks weren't going to win it, but the Pacers were allowed to just, like, I thought if you get out of control and just throw crap up, you'd get called for some offensive foulage. And I was especially frustrated being a fan of the other team in this game with the officiating. But the Knicks just they can't hold up to these guys, unfortunately. They go on their own runs, but they can't defend.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They can't stop them.
It's a problem this time of year. So, PK, phase three.
Hey, Joe, have you crowned Oklahoma City for multiple championships? This is a big problem in NBA commentary. When Robbie and I did three shows in your absence last week, we talked about it. But, I mean, the league commentators, I guess they have nothing else to talk about. They're talking about Oklahoma City's third championship right now. They've crowned them a dynasty before they've even advanced to the finals.
Yeah, I think they should win one. You know, they win one, and then people will talk about dynasty, which you could still rip on that too. But I mean, look, you win a championship and you have a young core, people will talk about it. But win the championship.
Thank you for at least allowing for that.
Be a nice start for OKC. We'll see how that goes in the next series. So, PK, phase three beginning today. You all will be out there later watching the Titans in phase three. Like, really, my interest this time of year kind of begins and ends with Cam Ward. But what are you looking for today as the Titans are on the field for the OTA part of this? And as Brian Callahan alluded to last week, probably the most meaningful part of the offseason program before you get to the actual training camp coming up.
Well, it begins and ends with Cam Ward in terms of what we'll be watching on the field for sure, but lot of other storylines there. And we'll see 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. So cornerbacks and receivers will really be highlighted here. How do the receivers look against a more experienced, shall we say, bunch of defensive backs? I'm curious about these undrafted rookie defensive backs who've gotten some reasonable guaranteed money coming out. And then some questions after the fact, you know, hoping to talk to Will Levis about, it's open to us as guys come off the field. I don't know how well we'll do at stopping people. We want to talk to L'Jarius Sneed about what's going on with him. We want to talk to Will Levis about adjusting to the backup role and his work with Jordan Palmer. Jeffrey Simmons, I'm not sure if he'll be there or not, quite frankly, but would like to talk to him about all this leadership buildup, and he's got a legal issue with the child support stuff. So those are top of mind things going into today. And then we'll talk to the coordinator. So we'll talk to Fossil for the first time about special teams philosophy, which is, I think, the most interesting thing there amongst the coordinators.
So I know you guys got into this, but I didn't really hear PK's. Robbie and I talked about it yesterday a little bit, but the leadership attempt / structure / changes, what are your thoughts on all of that, PK?
Yeah, I know. I know some people are quote unquote, don't
you
like
people.
It or find it hokey or whatever. I mean, I think the more opportunities you can create for leadership and to penalize things that are connected to the things that killed this team, you know, there's not much going on in phase one and phase two. So to maximize what you can get out of those phases, where you're working alone, you're not going offense against defense and all of that, and to be able to say there was a false start right here and there are going to be consequences for that, and that's going to be at the top of the board that this guy is a multiple offender, and, you know, have the lady ring the bell and say shame, shame, shame. I think that's a good thing. We're gonna beat it into you guys that this is not acceptable. And now this week we start to add positive points when you do more positive things because you have more chances for that. I have no problem with the whole system. And I think, there was a clip from Calvin Ridley. I guess he had a camp And he talked about, you know, really enjoying it and getting a lot out of it. And so, you know, if the guys are on board, and I think if you're going to voluntary minicamp, you're signing up to be on board whatever's going on at voluntary minicamp. And so more power to them. It was obviously there was a lot of stuff lacking out of there's a lot of stuff not built during this stage of the season last year per Brian Callahan, who overlooked a lot of stuff to get into scheme. And that's not happening this year. Now, will it benefit them? We'll see. But I'm imagining they're going to be, if things go better, they're going to be callbacks to this time of season where he says, yeah, we built some foundational stuff.
PK is with us the rest of the show. We'll take your thoughts, your questions on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Little thing called the Catalina Wine Mixer. It's our marquee event every year.
So last night was the Catalina Wine Mixer.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm ready to take on the Catalina Wine Mixer.
A lot of wine.
Commissioner Sankey, you, sir, set the standard for leadership in this country.
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer. It's the big leagues.
No, I get it.
Don't let me catch you slacking. If I catch you slacking.
Coach, you're the gold standard. You remind me of Coach Harbaugh. In
the
time of
chimpanzees, I was to the Fat and Bald Show. It is that time of the day.
And I'm going to egg your house. Yo.
Time for the Rex Rant. The Catalina Wine Mixer edition.
And I'm going to egg your house.
We need more discussion of egging the house here on the program. That's going to be a business for PK and Joe Rexroad.
Prices are up.
Prices are going up. We'll see.
Overhead.
See if PK
overhead problems.
And Joe can figure that out.
We need to figure out these egg tariffs quickly here.
Let's see if they can figure that out. Get business booming out there for the business they're going to start. The more we can talk about Marty Smith and just the, hey, Coach, you know, I just love you so much. Coach Harbaugh is so inspirational out there. Love that guy.
Coach, can you spare a square, Coach? Can you spare a square?
All right.
Joseph,
so,
the floor is yours.
Yeah. I've got a smorgasbord. I don't care if Garshi complains about it. I have a question for Garshi because you guys have to catch me up on some stuff that I totally missed, but I know is hilarious from last week. I was going to tell you guys about another ridiculous adventure from last week, which was, I'll just give you the quick version. You know, I was going to like rant about cell phones, but I left my cell phone in the Uber. I was trambling around. The Uber dropped me off after.
Again, New York kills you.
Yeah. And by the way, for anybody who thinks that I actually called PK for any advice or like he's lying, I just want to make that clear, you know, because PK likes to lie. But got home and had to rush the lad to his graduation. We were all trying to go get him there, get a good spot. Cell phone's gone. Then I'm trying to like contact the Uber driver. And, but you know, it's like you're trying to get into your account and then it's like, okay, well, we send a code to your phone. I'm like, no, I can't get into my account because I don't have my phone. So I can't tell you what the code is. That's like, okay, well, you could do an alternate to send an email. It was a mess, disaster. They finally left me. And then, you know, Kate had to come back, get me. We had terrible seat, you know, all this stuff. And then the next day, as we're about to drive to Indiana after a night of no cell phone, after, you know, Katie's calling the driver, leaving all these messages, you know. And the next day, as we're packing for Indiana, I found it in the in one of my drawers, which I had apparently thrown it in there in a.
That's a heck of a week for you, man.
I mean, it's just incredible. Well, I haven't even gotten
in. Hard.
I haven't even gotten into the car. That as soon as Katie rented it, a rock hit it, and so you had a, and then there's been this spreading spider line on the windshield, and then as I'm driving to Destin through like the most desolate part, like where there's like in like southern Alabama, there's like no cell service or nothing. Then all of a sudden, my tire starts to beep at me that it's losing air.
You are a cartoon show.
So now I don't have time for the rant that I was going to switch to.
Well, he did. Oh, PK, did you hear about, you know, we all know the tick bite, everything, the real ID stuff, everything that went on with that last week. He also ran out of gas. Like, he ran his family out of gas on the side of the road. A very eventful week last week.
Where did you run your family out of gas?
Kentucky.
I mean, Louisville. I can't redo yesterday's rant, but yes, my whole thing was let's get to Kentucky where the gas will be cheaper. So the light went on the other side of Louisville. I'm like, all right, we'll get to the other side of Louisville. It'll be cheaper. It was 20 cents cheaper, by the way, per gallon. But we ran out of gas about a mile and a half before the exit.
Well, that makes it all worth it.
That was really good. Okay, so in the time we have left, so what happened with, like, you and Stilly?
We don't
need
to get into that.
No?
No.
I need to know.
We don't need to get into that. Stilly says that
Was this
Floyd,
like FCC?
Like, in all seriousness, we really don't need to get into
I'll give it to you very quickly. Stilly said on air that Floyd told him his radio preparation reminded him of Tom Brady's football preparation. That stands for itself. And if you check the current ratings, their preparation's really paying off.
So, there you go. There's the Cliff Notes version of what happened last week. There you go.
I had a field day with that.
Okay. I mean, send me some audio of this. I haven't heard it.
Well, talk to your producer. I don't have control of the audio.
I mean, if you
what
should.
What was your rant going to be?
I was going to rant this argument I'm getting into in the YouTube chat. I'll save it for another day. It's a good one to save.
I'll go look at the YouTube chat.
There we go. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. PK with us the rest of the program. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Tennessee Titans. We will do that for the next hour. Keep your questions coming for PK, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.